Okay, we
Hey,
are being
hey,
recorded.
Lorena.
And to get a sense of who's on the call, I appreciate everybody being on it. My name's Tom LaPorte. I'm an assistant water commissioner. And why don't we go around first with the water department people and see who's on. Do we have Tom Mendoza?
Yeah, I'm here. My name's Tom Mendoza. I'm the supervisor of field engineering services.
Okay, and Sido Sakata?
I'm here with the sewer design section.
Okay, and do we have Dwayne?
Yes, Dwayne Hightower, Deputy Commissioner of Operations and Distribution.
Thank you. And Lisa?
Yes, Lisa Rosario with the Commissioner's Office.
And Gary?
Yes, Gary Litherland. I'm with the Public Relations Office.
Okay. And that's the Water Department side. Who do we have from the neighborhood?
Okay, you have Betty Carter at 7919 South Perry, Perry Avenue Block Club. And my question is,
Wait, he wants everybody.
Yeah, I'd like introductions first.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, I'm Carolyn Knowles. I'm from the Block Club.
I'm Hazel Leonard. I'm from the Block Club also.
All right.
Stephen Lofton. I'm from the Block Club also.
Okay.
Dorothy Green. I'm also from the Block Club.
Hi, Ms. Green. Okay. Well, that's great. We have a good turnout. And Ms. Carter, you were about to ask a question before we get started.
Yes. Since the last flooding that we had, which is about a couple of years, I haven't been able to use my basement at all. I have grandchildren, and this is where they normally play during the winter and summer. Every time we get the basement cleaned up, we get a flood. Now I have everything stacked on top of everything to keep it from being destroyed again. So I would just like to know, have you done anything to help us to keep this water out of our basement every year? That's my question.
Yes, we've done some stuff to help you do that, and there's stuff that the neighbors have to do. One of the things we've done to help you do that, and we'll get to Dwayne and Tom in a moment to talk about not only specific steps, but one of the things we've done is focused in, because of the good community organization you have there, focused in on the block we're talking about, and we're able to get specific about some of the things that we've discovered there. But it's not a question of the city protecting people from flooding. That's not something the city has ever said we could guarantee that people wouldn't flood. And it's a question of how much water's coming down and how the pipes are arranged that would push water into the basement. What we have, and just to set the scene, what we have is a kind of storm that's coming through the area repeatedly now every summer that's connected with global warming and climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the nature of these storms is that they have a great intensity. They're 2 or 3 inches of water per hour in these really heavy storms, and that's just more than our sewer system is able to handle. The sewer system was put in 100 years ago. It's served us pretty well over the years, and it can still handle moderate and light rains, but the really heavy rains, the torrential downpours that we see now a couple of times every summer, are simply too big, and when you put that much water and then try and add more water forcibly into the sewer, it's going to go somewhere, and where that's going to go is in the basement, where people are. And it's only been in the last generation, as Sido Sakata's pointed out, that we really thought we should be living in the basements. That's a good thing. Nobody's against that. But at the same time, we have to accept that sometimes we have to look at the realities of how the water drains during these really heavy storms. Now, there's two major forms of major sources of water in these storms that go for water going into the sewer. The first is the catch basins along the sides of the streets. That takes all the water from the outside, from the driveways, from the streets, and goes into the sewer. And if it's allowed to just go in without any any obstacle that is going to push water into the basement. Now, what we've done as a city is over the last 10 or 12 years put in on residential streets what we call rain blockers. And the rain blockers are designed, they're plastic devices, and they're designed to hold the water in the street. So when you see water flooding in the street during these heavy rains, that's a good thing because that means that it's not going into your basement. We want the street to be a temporary reservoir. And the other source of water is people's connected downspouts. When people have their rooftop gutter system connected by a downspout that goes into the ground, what's happening is that it's going into, it's connecting underground with the private drain that carries all the water from the house out to the street. And if that street sewer is already full and the water's already coming up the private drain, there's no place for that water to go from the roof except into the people's basements. And that's coming down at that, in those storms, at the rate of about 500 gallons per hour. So the purpose of this conversation is having Tom has come out a couple of times to the neighborhood. We've done some stuff. Sid has taken a look at the arrangement of pipes underneath the ground and how the sewers are flowing and that kind of thing. Dwayne Hightower is deputy commissioner in charge of all of our street operations. So what we're doing with the conference call is presenting you with the realities of the situation on your street and also hoping to get us to the next level, the next stage of conversation, which is what can we do about it. There's some things the city can do about it, and we'll get into those in a second, but there's other things that only residents can do because the city doesn't have the right to come on your property and make the changes that would protect you from flooding. So it's a question of what does the neighborhood want to do as much as what's the city doing about it. And maybe with that preamble, we can turn to Dwayne. And Dwayne, have you had a chance to look at the 311 reports, and can you tell us what the city does in terms of response to these heavy rains?
Yes, Tom. The last report that we have received for water in the basement in that area is on May 25th, 2010. And since then, we have not gotten a complaint about water in the basement or flooding. However, we have cleaned all of the sewers in the area as well as the catch basins. So the last call that we have received in that particular area is, let me go to the date here. I have a bunch of paperwork here, so just bear with me. Yeah, the last water in the basement was in 2010.
Right.
That's the last one we've received.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010. We have not received anything for 2011 or 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a couple of things worth saying about that. Number one is that we had the heaviest rain in Chicago history last July 23rd in 2011, and if nobody flooded and nobody called in, that's a great thing, but I think it's more likely that people didn't call in. Did anybody on
well,
the call
we did
flood
get
during
water
that incident?
In.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead,
yeah, we did get water in July of 2011 also. 2010
okay.
And 2011, July of both years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of our concerns was the fact that the water started coming into our basement pretty much after the rain stopped. There was a big buildup of water on the Dan Ryan Expressway, and a lot of the folks are concerned that, and I've spoken with you guys in regards to that, and you pretty much assured me that this is not the case. But when the water went down on the Dan Ryan Expressway, then the water came up and into our homes. And it's constantly trying to replace furnaces and hot water heaters and washers and dryers and people's furniture, those that do have people that reside downstairs. So, what can you say in regards to that is number one question. And number two, what exactly did you see when you went into the system? I know you guys sent cameras down through there. I worked pretty closely with Tom, and he coordinated with me exactly what was going on. They did say that they saw some problems, but nobody ever got back to me to tell me exactly what problems they saw and what they did to alleviate those problems.
Hey, well, what I did, I'm sorry, Tom. What I did, this is Dwayne Hightower, sir, and what I did was I went to our leak desk and ask them to pull up any complaints from that area going back to 2010 from the 311 system. And this is, and what I'm reading off of, this is what they returned to me. And mainly the majority of it is for sewer cleaning and catch basin cleaning. And the only water in the basement complaint we've gotten is in 2010. Okay, so
that's not a correct report. You know,
okay.
Just, you know, okay, we did have water in 2011, and 2011 is when they came out and really zeroed in on the problem. That was last year.
Did people call 311? Because that's what Duane is looking at, and that illustrates a point that we need to make, which is that if people don't call 311, they're making a mistake
that's
in two respects.
No report.
I'm sorry?
You said if we don't call 311, then there's no report that goes in.
Right, and
that's
that
what you're
Yeah, I'm saying that, and I'm saying there's two consequences of that. Well, number one is when we're planning our budgets and our expenditures for increasing the, you know, for new construction and for replacing sewers and that kind of stuff, our planners look in part to where the problems have been reported from. So even though I understand that there's a tendency not to be willing to sit on hold when the water's coming in the basement or to that it seems frustrating, or if you don't need city services directly, that you don't call 311. The fact is that you also wind up being not noticed and not reported if you don't call 311. So even if you had flooding last year, I would like to urge everybody to call 311 and report last year's flooding, just so that you show up as a problem. And the second is that when the city is going for disaster declarations and relief from the federal and state governments, we have to be able to show, or the OEMC people have to be able to show where the problem is and how serious it is. And if people haven't called in, then they're deprived of some of the evidence they'd like to be able to show. So everybody who experienced flooding should call in.
That's the draw.
I'm sorry?
My name is Stephen Lofton, and I'm a member of the Block Club West Chatham here. And my concern is that with the problem that was just stated as water coming in from the Dan Ryan, they are taking on this huge project next year to fix these Dan Ryan trains, the Red Line specifically. Are they going to address this system? Is there anything that they can do to prevent this drainage? Are they going to include our situation in this project that they're doing to fix up this RTA, the red bag?
Well, let me explain what I understand about the Dan Ryan situation, and any of the experts on the line can correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that we do not pump the Dan Ryan when it floods. Illinois Department of Transportation is responsible for that. They maintain the sewers on the Dan Ryan, and they feed the same pipes of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, which is the agency. It's a separate agency. It's not part of the city, but it's the agency that operates the treatment plants. Now, when they are a little bit further downstream, mm-hmm, than the neighborhood. So when they start pumping their water into the MWRD pipes, that means the people in the neighborhood are waiting for their water for water in their sewers to be able to drain as well. And that's something that we have to, you know, that's something that we, through this process, that I've come to become aware of, and it's something that I think we ought to see what can we do to address that, because if the water from the Dan Ryan is preempting water from the neighborhood, that's a serious problem for you, and it results in water in the basement and that kind of thing. I'm not sure what the solution is, but I know that identifying the problem is the first step.
Hello, Tom?
Yes.
This is Sid.
Yes, Sid.
We did take a look at that problem, you call it a problem, but we had our modelers take a look at that,
mm-hmm,
and what they did was they did it on a computer model to see what the impacts of additional water from the expressway being pumped into the MWRD sewer at pump station 21,
okay,
around 72nd Street or something like that. Well, first let me tell you how your water goes. You're at 79th. and LaSalle and Lafayette. And in that
Correct.
Street.
Perry.
And Perry. Perry.
And Perry, right.
Uh-huh.
And in that street, there's a huge 7 foot, 0.25 foot diameter sewer. So it's a really big sewer in that street. It
right.
services a big area. And that sewer in 79th Street flows east to Lafayette. And then that sewer flows from Lafayette to 77th Street. And then it turns into a bigger sewer in 77th Street, a 10-foot by 8-foot sewer. And in 77th Street, it goes east to Indiana. And then from Indiana, it flows north to the MWRD interceptor. So you're pretty far from the pump station as it is. The pump station.
Can I ask you a question?
No. Hold on a second. I want Sid to finish the sentence, and then I've got a follow-up question. Then we'll go to you. Sid, go right ahead.
So they our modelers have modeled all these large trunk sewers in the area for the whole city, and they included some discharge to simulate the flow from the Dan Ryan being pumped into the MWD interceptor up there, and it came out to like 78 CFS. And what they
What's that mean, 78 CFS?
78 cubic feet per second.
Okay.
Is the flow from the Dan Ryan. And that drainage area is like a huge drainage area for that area from the interceptor, so that 76 TFS is very minor compared to the drainage area that interceptor takes. So when they did model it, they did show that the water level did increase a little bit around the pump station area, but most of that increase in water level was minimal compared to the capacity of the local sewers they determined. So what they figured was increase in flow from the pump station would probably be in negligible, you know, not noticeable to the residents.
Well, then how would we explain, Sid, the fact that as the water goes down in the Dan Ryan, people are experiencing greater flooding by their own account, and what would be causing the flooding in the basements if it's not the Dan Ryan?
Well, actually, if you look and put things in perspective, since this area is running a 7.25-foot diameter sewer, that trunk sewer that they're serviced by is, relatively speaking, pretty good compared to the rest of the city. I mean, it's close to a 5-year capacity, which is our goal, but compared to the rest of the city, that's pretty good.
So are you saying...
Let me ask you...
Let me jump ahead with one more question here, sir. Sid, are you saying then that the Dan Ryan isn't the cause and effect that people would normally believe it is because it happens at the same time, but that the collection sewers at the street level and the residential level are simultaneously with whatever storm is flooding the Ryan being overtaxed and pushing water into people's homes, but they're not connected to the Dan Ryan draining?
Yeah, that's pretty much what you said in a nutshell. That's correct.
Okay, sir, I'm sorry to interrupt twice, but you had a question?
Yeah, out going south of 79th and 80th, what is the diameter of the sewers south of us? Are they smaller? Do the sewers,
that's the thing,
you know,
where you're at on 79th Street, the ground elevation is about 2 feet higher than at 80th Street. So if you go further south, it gets lower, the ground, so I would expect the people further south to have more problems than you guys on 79th Street a little bit.
Well, my concern was that if the sewers got smaller south of us, that they wouldn't be able to hold the capacity that we were relieving, and, you know, we would get the backup caused by them having a smaller system down there.
No, if they would get the problems, not you. They're upstream of you. Everything from south of there flows into 79th Street. So everything flows north to 79th Street.
And 80th flows south?
80th flows north.
Okay.
From about roughly 81st Street, everything goes north to 79th
okay.
Street.
Okay. Because
so
I recall
better
when
off
they...
than they are, relatively speaking.
Well, I recall when they replaced the system, but I can't remember if they went all the way down to like 83rd Street. I know they did 79th and 80th,
And if they didn't expand the volume of the pipes south of us, you know, then I thought that we might experience some backup. But you're telling me that our water is flowing north.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about the sewer they put in LaSalle and 81st Street? Or?
Yeah, I guess about 10 or 15 years ago, they redid our, you know, dug up the streets and put new pipes in.
Right,
sewer pipes. And they were seven, you know, they were real big pipes, but I was concerned that if they didn't go down further with that same size pipe that we were getting back up from them, you know.
No. You're probably connected to 79th Street anyway.
Okay.
Mr. LaFleur?
Yes, ma'am.
My question was the same as Mrs. Betty Carter,
mm-hmm.
but you answered my question, so I'm going to hang up now.
Okay, well, thank you for being
okay.
part of the call.
All right,
Mrs. Before you hang up, there, as we pursue this, there will be conversation about what neighbors can do and what we all should be doing together, what the next steps are. So feel free to hang up if you have to go, but there is more ahead of us.
Okay.
Mr. LaFleur?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, this is Betty Carter. You were saying that we should call 311 when we get a flood?
Yes.
Okay, well, I didn't know about that. We always call FEMA. That's who we, you know, were in touch with.
Okay, and I don't know how much the FEMA and 311 compare their calls, but always call 311 and encourage your neighbors to do it as well. But let's back up just a second and ask Tom Mendoza, who's an underground engineer and has been to the neighborhood. We did the walk together, and he's has been able to get the sewers cleaned and the catch basins inspected. Tom, what did you find about the neighborhood?
Well, what I found and what we've done there is we televised Lafayette, Perry, LaSalle, all from 80th to 79th Street. And we cleaned them very well, and there was nothing wrong that we could find. We also cleaned and televised that 87-inch sewer on 79th Street from LaSalle to Lafayette. And definitely all our cleaning should help, and possibly this is why you haven't been flooding in recently. We also inspected all the sewers down the line, and we didn't see anything wrong visually. And we also cleaned all the catch basins and replaced the restrictors.
And then did we make sure that all the restrictors are in place, Tom?
Yes. And
okay.
My suggestion to everyone in the area is to disconnect your downspouts.
Them ain't right.
The less water you put in the system, the less water that's going
to
come into your basements in case it does flood. But if
we do have the downspout, that's the last thing that were requested. And I think most of the homeowners does have the, you know, the downspout.
Ms. Codd, I do have the downspout.
I know. Right. So do I.
Well, we've got them, but everybody hasn't done it yet. But
okay.
My concern is that at 79th and LaSalle, there's an alley that runs east and west parallel to 79th Street. I mentioned to one of these guys, I think Tom LaFleur's assistant that was working with me, and this is Curtis Green, by the way, the Block Club president.
Oh,
I mentioned to him that, all right, I mentioned to him that when they replaced that system years ago, one of the workers poured some excess concrete down into that drain. And we've always experienced water and ice backup right there. You know, in the wintertime, it turns to ice because it doesn't drain. And my understanding was that they did look at that, and I don't know if they went in and chiseled, seemed as though they mentioned something to me about having to chisel something out and make some corrections and repairs, but I never was able to get the full report on exactly what and where they did the repair work. I'm still trying that out. My dad was out there, and the guy poured just excess concrete down into the system, and we've always had problems since then, but I don't know if that particular area was addressed, and I, you know, I'm still trying to find out exactly what repairs were made, because they did bring to my attention that they saw some problems down in the system when they sent the cameras through.
Well, can I ask this? Was that between LaSalle and Perry or LaSalle and Wentworth?
Between LaSalle and Perry. It's on the east side of LaSalle, that drain right there at the corner where the alley runs east and west.
All right, I'll have
on
someone
the east
check
side
it
of LaSalle.
Out. I'll have someone
okay.
check it out, and I'll get back with Tom LaPorte about it.
Okay.
And then I'll give you a call and tell you what we found.
Okay. All right. Okay, guys. Tom, are you guys almost done? I sort of stopped work. I'm at work right now.
Well, I appreciate that.
You got something else?
I think we're pretty close to it. Tom or Dwayne or Sid, do you guys have anything particular to add? Because if not, what I'd like to do, and we'd like to answer any questions there are, too. But I would think the next step after this phone call is to get the neighbors together, and I can come with a written version of some of these findings, and we can sit and talk about how are we going to accomplish everything we can do to keep the water out of the basements, and you know what kind of – one of the things we haven't talked about yet are rain gardens. And rain gardens are gardens that are planted in the yard to hold water, and they're planted with plants that are chosen for their ability to absorb huge amounts of water and to hold it. They're native plants, as opposed to grass or you know just flowers and that kind of stuff. And they can be very effective. And I can bring experts in to say where they should go and that kind of stuff. So in terms of taking the next step, it's not just a matter of having a phone call and telling you what's wrong. It's a matter of them getting together, and I'm available for in-person conversations, evenings, weekends, whatever's good for the block club, to take us all to the next step where people are taking specific action and reducing the risk of flooding. But are there other questions for the experts while we have them on the phone?
I have one real quick. Sonny, can I ask this question? In regards to rain barrels, you know, all the homes aren't, you know, it'd be a process to divert the water from down in the system into the backyard and the front yard, you know, due to the way their doors are lined up, you know, in regards to where the downspout goes into the ground, trying to get it from the front to the back. How much access do we have to rain barrels through the city? You know, can we get them from the city? Do we have to purchase them? Or, you know, can they give us some direction as far as getting rain barrels for those people that can't divert the water into their yard?
Well, two things on that. Number one is there is a backyard, there's a sustainable backyard program that includes rebates for rain barrels that you would purchase, and I can get you the information on that. The second thing is that there's a program, and this is something that everybody on the block should know about, called Meter Save, where we're trying to encourage people to get water meters. The fact is that the only reason you would want to is to save money. What you're paying for a family of four if you don't have a water meter, and you're paying a much higher amount than you should have to pay. As part of the incentive for people to get into water meter, we have a 7-year guarantee that you're not going to pay more than you would be paying as a non-metered customer, but we're also giving away free water barrels as part of that. So
okay.
That's something worth considering. In terms of getting the water into the backyard, I think a water barrel, Tom might correct me on this, but a water barrel would allow you to contain it at the side of the house, and then a soaker hose or something that led away from it would transport the water into either the front or backyards.
Yeah, you
right.
can redirect it to wherever you may need it.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Okay, I just was trying to find out how available those are. I don't know, you know, how expensive they were.
I can get you the information through Mr. Green on the rebate program and that kind of thing. And like I say, if you don't have a water meter, you should consider getting one for the cost savings, but it comes one of the incentives is to give you a water barrel.
Right. I did get the water meter last year, but I didn't see the, I don't know if I was qualified now for the
Did you get a water barrel?
Rebate on the rate. No.
No, well, give me a call after this phone call, and we'll work on that together. You should have had the option of an indoor kit, an outdoor kit, or a rain barrel, and we'll get to the rain barrel, if you'd like it.
Okay. All right. This is Curtis Green that's that just mentioned that. And I've called you. I'm at work. I'm driving right now. I really turned the truck off so that I could hear. But I'll call Tom, or
okay,
I'll call
yeah,
the water department a little later.
Okay.
All right. Thank
else
you, guys.
Folks? Thank you so much, Mr. Green, for all your work.
All right. Okay. I appreciate your help. You guys have been really helpful. I appreciate your concern.
You're quite welcome.
You guys put it to addressing our problem. We haven't had a real substantial rainfall, so we don't know right now, you know, how effective what we've done is going to be. But hopefully, you know, when we get everything taken care of as far as the downspouts and what have you, that we won't have the type of issues that we had. Like we were getting like 2, 3, 4 feet of water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you want to set up a meeting, Mr. Green, I mean, you've done such a great job of, as and Betty Carter too, of helping us get the neighborhood together. And if you'd like to set up a meeting and ask me to come to it, I'd love to be there, and I can do evenings and weekends for you.
Okay. All right. Very good. I'm gonna hang up, guys. I gotta get back to work.
All right, well, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Mr. LaPorte. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you. All right, you're welcome. Have a nice day, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Stay cool.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
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 Thank you.